Prakashananda Saraswati, who was like a king amongst the Mayavadis, who hated Vaishnavas, who thought they were just ignorant sentimentalists and never thought twice to blaspheme them. He had 60,000 sannyasi disciples there. Hare Krishna. They ruled over the city. And in Varanasi, there was really only one other Vaishnava named Chandrasekhar. How can we imagine how much temptation Tapa Mishra had to just get out of that place and go to Navadvip and chant and dance? But he stayed because it was the Lord's order. The Lord said, someday I will come and meet you there. And Tapa Mishra became the father of the most glorious exalted Acharya, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip. And here, all the people were so happy to meet him. So much happy to meet him. 2 months in separation. Very, very excruciating. And they didn't want this joyful reception to be a sad affair. So no one would say anything about the demise of Lakshmipriya. So everyone just hid that fact and welcomed the Lord with great joy. And the Lord was in his house and he was speaking so many jokes. He was talking all about his trip to Bangladesh. And while he was talking about it, he was making everyone laugh as he was mimicking, making fun of the accent of the Bangladeshis. He was speaking in their accent in a very, very humorous way, and he was laughing himself like anything. Meanwhile, while everybody was greeting to him and joking with him, he did not see Sachi Devi, because she was just the abode of grief due to the disappearance of Lakshmi Devi, and she did not want to cause grief to her son, so she would not show her face to him, because she knew if he did, it would cause him sorrow. So she was hiding in a secluded place. But the Lord understood her heart. After everybody left his house, the Lord entered into Sachi Devi's room. He saw her face, streamed with tears, practically emaciated with pain. He asked, "Can you tell me? Everyone has come to greet me. Why you haven't come to greet me?" She could not speak a word. "Please tell me, dear mother, what has happened? Why are you in such a grief-stricken state?" It was impossible for her to even utter a word. It was just too painful. The Lord could understand. He said, "I know that my beloved wife, your daughter-in-law, Lakshmi Devi, has departed from this world." When he learned the details of how it happened, he spoke to console Sachi Devi. So the Supreme Lord Krishna is the ultimate controller of everyone's destiny. All temporary relationships in this world are destined to be lost. the relationship of father and son, mother and son, brother and brother. We become very attached to these things. But it is not within our power to sustain them. All these relationships will inevitably be broken by time. And time is controlled by the Supreme Lord. What is our destiny and what is our karma is something that must be accepted. The eternal reality of the soul is real truth. What a wonderful event took place in your daughter-in-law's life. On the holy bank of the river Ganges, she was bestowed with the good fortune of giving up her life before she had to suffer seeing the demise of her own husband. It was a glorious disappearance. Krishna has taken her back. Dear mother, why should you be sorrowful? I am here for you. His words were full of wisdom and filled with such compassion that he utterly consoled the heart of Sanchidev. One day, Sachimata went to the bank of Ganga to take her bath. And there was a very, very beautiful young girl. She bowed down to Sachidevi with great, great devotion. In fact, every day Sachimata would go to the Ganga, this girl, without saying a word, would always bow down to her. And Sachimata really took note on this particular day that she's such an embodiment of transcendental divine qualities. This should be my Nimai's wife. She understood her name was Vishnupriya. She was the daughter of a Raj Pandit Brahmin of the name Sanatan Mishra. So Satyamata called for another person within the Navadvip marriage board type of thing. She called for Kashinath Pandit. And she told Kashinath, please go to Sanatan Mishra and propose to him that my Nimai will be a perfect match for his daughter, Vishnupriya. So Kashinath was very excited about this. He went to the Raj Pandit's house and said, I have the best news for you, the most auspicious news. Sachimata is proposing that your daughter marry Nimai Vishwambar Gauranga. In my opinion, they are a perfect match, just like Rukmini and Krishna. I see no difference. When Sanatan Mishra heard this, he immediately accepted. If Sachimata desires this, there is not even a single thing for us to think about. My whole family completely accepts it immediately. Let us arrange for the marriage. When the news came that the Lord was going to be married to the goddess of fortune who appeared as Vishnupriya Devi, the devotees and the associates of the Lord really wanted this to be a glorious marriage. There was a somewhat wealthy man named Budhimanta Khan. Budhimanta Khan said that this will not be another poor Brahmin's marriage. This will be a marriage on the level of a prince or a king, and I will pay for all the expenses with no reservations. Meanwhile, Mukund Sanjay, who loved the Lord, he gave his whole house to, for the Lord to teach his studies in. He said, I want to help too. I want to donate for this marriage. Buddhimanta Khan said, no. It's a different mood than Bhakti Vinod in building the yoga peak. He said, no. He said, I will carry 100% all the expenses. There are different types of pure devotees. We must understand this. So Buddhimanta Khan made so elaborate arrangements, beautiful, beautiful decorations and luxurious feasts, and he arranged wonderful, wonderful, expensive gifts for the Lord to give every single guest that came, and it was open for everyone. Hare Krishna. There was the Adivas, and then the Lord came to Vishnupriya's home, and Sanatan Mishra lovingly offered the hand of his daughter in marriage. According to the tradition, they put a curtain around Vishnupriya and Lord Chaitanya, and in an environment where nobody else could see, Vishnupriya first raised her eyes from his feet. And it was the first time in their lives that they looked at each other. And when their glances were exchanged, their eternal love flourished within their hearts. Beautiful decorations, wonderful Brahmins chanting mantras, people were dancing, bands were playing, and Lord Chaitanya was giving exquisite garlands, spices, sandalwood, and all sorts of nice gifts to every guest that came. Because this is the Vedic system. In an auspicious event, the idea is to get blessings. And the way you get blessings is to please the person that you want to bless you. And in the case of something like a marriage, it's by giving gifts to people. Not receiving, but giving. The joy of life is to give. So Lord Chaitanya was just giving so many gifts. There was long lines of people. Anybody was welcome, and he was giving precious gifts to them. And some greedy people would take the gifts and then hide them and then go back to the back of the line to get more. They wanted to stash them, to save more and more. And some of the organizers of the marriage, they were, nah, you already had. But Lord Chaitanya stopped them and said, no, let everybody be fully satisfied, whatever their motives, let everybody, however many times they want to come, I'll keep giving it to them. And Buddhimanta Khan was just, his only desire was Lord Chaitanya's happiness. So people were coming again and again and again and again for more and more gifts. And Lord Chaitanya was just lovingly giving it as if it was the first time, although he's the knower of everything. He wanted to satisfy everyone's heart. One of the most glorious transcendental marriages that has ever taken place on this planet Earth. The marriage of Lord Gauranga and Vishnupriya Devi. And ultimately everyone was perfectly satisfied by Lord Chaitanya's kind love and compassion. Now, have you ever heard of any event where everyone is perfectly satisfied? This is the supreme compassion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After some days, Lord Chaitanya announced to his family that he was going to go on a pilgrimage to Gaia. I think we should end. It is 8:30. Should we continue another time?
Yes.
I've never heard Maharaj speak with such conviction before.
That was not a good, that wasn't
good. Oh, it was you? Oh, it was you. Tomorrow we'll be going to very special places. Tomorrow we will be traveling to Katwa. And there we will see the ashram of Keshav Bharati, where Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas. We will also be going to the Samadhi Mandir of Madhai. And we will also go to a place called Madhai Ghat. And then we will visit Jajigram, the place of Srinivasacharya, and then the very holy place of Shikanda, the place of Lochindas Thakur, Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan Thakur, Mukunda Sarakar, Sulochan, and so many other very, very great eternal associates of the Lord. So, on the order of my senior god brothers, I will end here. I wish to thank you all very, very much. But I should tell one more story. Because to just end with the marriage is not... is not going to please everyone's heart. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu announced, but I will tell this quickly, and whatever quickly means... But really, I'll make it very quick. Lord Chaitanya proclaimed that he was going on a pilgrimage to Gaia to offer the Shraddha to his departed father and ancestors. So Sachi Mata and Vishnu Priya and all of his other associates, what could they say? He wanted to go on a pilgrimage to the holy place of Gaia. So he departed with some of his students. There are many beautiful stories of his travel to Gaia. He visited some very, very ancient sacred temples. When he was traveling to Gaia, his mood was very grave. He went to a temple. I believe it's the Madhusudan Temple on Mandara Hill. And after that, he contracted a high, raging fever. This really saddened his students. They called every kind of doctor and administered every kind of medicine. But his fever just kept rising. They were really, really beside themselves in confusion, because a fever doesn't come down, you die. They didn't know what else to do. then the Lord instructed them that I know what the medicine for my fever is, to drink the water from the feet of pure Brahmins. So they went to some Brahmins. Actually, these particular Brahmins, they had met previously. And they were Brahmins from another type of culture who spoke in a very crude way. And Lord Chaitanya's students did not give proper respect to them. But their hearts were pure. So Lord Chaitanya told them to go to them and get water from their feet for him to drink. He wanted to teach that it's not just the externals, but it's the heart that the Lord appreciates within his devotees. So they washed the feet of these Brahmin, and they brought the water back. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose Charanamrit is drunk all over the world by Prabhupada's mercy, he drank the water of that Brahmin, and instantly his fever disappeared. From that point on, Lord Chaitanya was very grave. There was no joking. There was no talking on material subjects. He entered Gaya in a very, very deep mood of reverence. They bathed at one of the holy kuns and then entered into the temple of Gadadhar. It is a shrine where the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are worshipped. Long ago, there was a great demon named Gayasura, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that place killed the demon and enshrined his feet, his footprints, to commemorate. Since time immemorial, those lotus feet have been worshipped. They built a beautiful shrine just to glorify the imprints of his feet. When Lord Chaitanya entered into the temple, thousands of people were standing around the lotus footprints of Lord Krishna. There were thousands of garlands being offered to the deities, to the feet. There was wonderful incense in all directions being offered to the Lord's lotus feet. Beautiful offerings by thousands and thousands of people. And many Brahmins were singing with great love the glories of the Lord's lotus feet. Everyone meditate on these lotus feet, the Brahmins prayed, because these lotus feet will deliver you from all the miseries of material existence. These lotus feet, when one takes shelter of them, will transport you to the eternal world of Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva always holds these feet in the core of his heart. Lakshmi Devi worships these lotus feet as her very life and soul, as the only object of her affection. Anyone who takes shelter of these lotus feet, Yamaraj will never even look in that person's direction. Pali Maharaj, he held these lotus feet on top of his head and attained the ultimate perfection of life. Lord Brahma is always offering prayers and glorification of these lotus feet. Everyone, everyone, meditate on the lotus feet that stand before you. These lotus feet are the source of the holy river Ganga. Ganga has been made pure and has the capacity to give liberation and love of God to anyone because the Ganga has washed these lotus feet. Everyone, everyone, come and worship the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, the supreme shelter for all living beings. As Lord Gauranga was hearing these beautiful prayers and gazing with unblinking lotus-like eyes upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he entered into a state of prema bhakti. It was the first time in his incarnation that the Lord publicly revealed the upsurge of his ecstatic inner love. That love of Sri Radhika that he has held secret for all those years within the core of his heart, uncontrollably emanated in the form of torrential tears pouring from his eyes. It wasn't just one stream of tears. The tears were gushing out like rivers. Several streams simultaneously going in different directions from each eye. He was soaking himself and all those around him with these profuse, uncontrollable tears of love. His limbs were shaking. Yes, this was that moment when the Lord revealed to the world his ecstatic prema. It was at that most auspicious moment that Ishwara Puri appeared and held the Lord. When he saw Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him. And Lord Chaitanya embraced Ishwara Puri. At this sacred moment of the Lord's Leela, the Lord said to Ishwara Puri that today I have achieved the goal and perfection of my pilgrimage to Gaya, because I am seeing your lotus feet, Ishwara Puri. Great saints like you are holy places personified. Ishwara Puri, he said, ever since I met you in Navadvipa, a moment has not passed when I have not remembered you with love. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. I only know one thing. Whenever I think of you, the same ecstatic love as thinking of Krishna overwhelms my heart. Therefore, day and night, I'm constantly remembering you. In this way, they exchanged wonderful affection with one another, praising one another. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then performed the various prescribed rituals for visiting a holy place like Gaya. He did the Shraddha in several of the holy places. There are many kuns and many temples, and he had the Brahmins helping him perform the rituals at each place. Because he was a householder, these were his prescribed duties. When he finally finished, he came back to his residence, and with his own hands, he cooked bhoga and offered it to Krishna for his evening meal. Right when he was about to sit down to eat, or honor the prasad, Ishwara Puri entered into the house. He said, oh, I have come right at the perfect time. Just when prasad is being served. And the Lord sat him down and offered him his own food. Ishwara Puri said, no, we can share it, just divide it in half. Whatever there is, we'll both be satisfied. But the Lord insisted, no, you must take everything. He said, but what you will eat? You have cooked this for yourself. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, I will cook again, it is not a problem. You are my special guest. Let me cook. Let me serve you. So on that auspicious evening, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepted the role of a very menial servant of his devotee. With great love and care, he served in each preparation. And meanwhile, Rama Devi, the goddess of fortune, secretly appeared in the kitchen to make another feast for Lord Chaitanya. Yes. One of the Lord's most pleasing ambitions is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of his own servants. Because of Ishvara Puri's love for the Lord was not only eager to serve him, but he was eager to surrender to him. That is the power of pure devotion. And what was Ishvara Puri's qualification? He pleased his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, through his menial service and his total dedication. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him in that same mood of being the menial servant, ready to dedicate his life. In a secluded place one day, the Lord requested Ishvara Puri to give him diksha, formal initiation. Ishvara Puri turned to the Lord and said, you are asking me to give you the initiation. I want to give you my entire life. But if this is your desire, then I am your servant. So thus, Sripad Ishvara Puri initiated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the sacred mantra. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed very wonderful menial service to his Gurudev for many days. When Lord Chaitanya began to meditate on the mantra that Ishvara Puri gave him, his Radha Bhav, his ecstatic prema, just became uncontrollably manifested in every limb, in every aspect of his existence. He would just cry in a secluded place, sometimes fall unconscious chanting this mantra. And when he would come back into external consciousness, he would just cry out, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He cried, oh my father, Krishna, where are you? Where have you gone? Why have you left me? Why am I bereft of your association? Where are you? You are in Mathura. I am going to Mathura. I will come to Mathura. Nothing will stop me now. He resolved in his heart he was going to run directly to Mathura to find Krishna. Very late one night, when all of his students actually couldn't understand what happened to their teacher. He used to be humorous and telling jokes and just challenging everybody to debates and teaching all kinds of grammatical details of learning. And now he was just humble like a blade of grass. What happened to the supreme personification of arrogance who was our teacher? Now he's more humble than a blade of grass. He's just going up to everyone, just forgive me, forgive me. He's weeping and he's crying, where is Krishna? I must find Krishna. His students were trying to somehow or other figure out what happened to their teacher. He said, I have no more any concern for any of this mundane knowledge or anything. I only want Krishna. I have only one question left in my life. Where is my father? Where is Krishna? Where is my beloved? Where has he gone? Why has he left me alone? If I do not see him, I will perish in the fire of separation. Please tell me, where will I find Krishna? His students didn't know what to say. So one night, when everyone was asleep, he escaped and began to run toward Mathura. He was running and running and running. And all the while, he was just getting up and falling and getting up and falling and getting up and falling and running more. And the only words from his mouth was, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? I must see you. Please reveal yourself to me. A divine voice spoke from the sky. It said, O Vishwambar, you are the Supreme Lord. You are our eternal Master. We have no right to instruct you. But as your servants, we must inform you of very important information. You have descended into this world in the age of Kali Yuga to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement in Sri Navadvip Dham to spread the flood of love of God in all directions. Please, Lord, you can go to Mathura another time. It is our duty to remind you, you should go to Navadvip. Now is the time to establish the chanting of the holy names. And later on, you will go to Mathura in Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya took those words very, very seriously. He returned to Gaya and then began his journey back to Sri Navadvipa. It is said that on the way he came to a place called Kamainatashala. And there it was so beautiful. An exact replica of Vrindavan Dham. Kadamba trees, tamal trees, champak trees, beautiful banyan trees, cows herding, surrounded on three sides by the holy river Ganges. In Kanainatashala, the Lord had a vision of Shamsundar playing his flute in his threefold bending form before his eyes. He ran to embrace the Lord. But just when he approached him, Shamsundar disappeared. He fell to the ground. Shamsundar, where are you? Govinda, where have you gone? Oh Gopinath, when will I see you again? From that moment on, his heart was immersed, submerged in ecstatic love and separation. While he was in Gaya, Ishwarapuri instructed him. He instructed him to spread the glories of the holy name. He told the Lord, you should keep one particular verse always with you in your heart. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiranyata. Now, my son, go into the world and spread the glories of pure love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. It wasn't until the Lord got that order from His spiritual master that He began the Sankirtan movement. He came again into Navadvip Dham. And his friends, his well-wishers, and even a few devotees came to greet him. But everyone immediately noticed he was a different person. He was no longer bragging. He was no longer telling jokes. He was just crying for Krishna. He told the devotees that he wanted, there was just a few devotees. Shriman Pandit, I believe Murari Gupta was there, Suklambar Brahmachari perhaps. He said, please come, I want to speak to you in private. And to the devotees he said, while I was in Gaya, I beheld with my eyes the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. And as he was describing the lotus feet of Krishna, tears poured from his eyes. His limbs trembled, his hair stood on end, his body was changing colors. The devotees had never in their lives seen such symptoms of ecstasy. He told the devotees, tomorrow in the morning, let us meet at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari. I want to reveal the sorrow of my heart to you there. The devotees were beside themselves in joy. Early the next morning, there was a vine that every day blossomed beautiful jasmine flowers. And most all the devotees would go there to pick those flowers for their puja. That day, Shriman Pandit, he was smiling. He was really smiling. And Srivas Thakur said, why are you smiling like this? We have never seen such smiles like this on you. He said, there is a very good reason why I am smiling. I will tell you. Nimai Pandit, Vishwambar has become a Vaishnava! No longer is he speaking about material subjects. Now the only words that emanate from his mouth is the names of Krishna, his longing for Krishna. We have never seen such an exhibition of pure, unalloyed ecstasy of love ever before. Nimai Pandit has become the greatest, supreme of all devotees. Our prayers have been fulfilled. Srivas Pandit was dancing in ecstasy when he heard this. He recited a beautiful sloka. The translation is, may our family now increase. The news was spreading in all directions amongst the devotees that Gauranga has become a devotee and he wants to meet us tomorrow at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari to reveal his heart. So we will continue on another occasion because I promised that I would make things very short. According to Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's divisions of the Leela of the Lord, from the Lord's appearance to the time he takes initiation in Gaya and returns to Navadvipa to establish Harinam Sankirtan. That is the Adi Lila. From the moment he returns to Navadvipa and begins his distribution of pure love of God, that is Madhya Lila. So thus we have concluded our narration of Adi Lila for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas in this most supreme holy place of Sri Mayapur Chandra Gaya Mandir in Sri Mayapur Dham, with the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. I thank you very much.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ke Hiranas Maharaj ke.
Chandramouli Maharaj ki.